do we put our trust. Let us never be put to confusion. Deliver us in thy righteousness and cause us to escape. Incline thine ear unto us and save us, O God. Be our strong heart. You have given commandment to save us, for you are our rock and our fortress. Deliver us, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are our hope. O Lord God, you are whom we put our trust. In you, O Lord, have we been saved and delivered from the hand of the enemy. And Lord God, you took us out of a pit and caused us to rise up above our enemies. Lord God, we give your name the praise, O God, on today. And just thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, for being the God and the rock of our salvation, the one in whom we can put our trust. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that you are in control. And Lord God, we can be assured in who you are. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you, Lord God, for your omnipotent power. Thank you, Lord God, for your infinite understanding. And Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, that today we can declare victory in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I praise your holy name, Lord God, that you have blessed us one more time. And Lord God, that we are here by the mercies of the Lord. In you, Lord God, do we live, move, and have our being. And Lord God, we give your name the praise on today. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, as we go forward in your word, Lord God, speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, speak to the very depths of our soul. And I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you would be magnified, that you would be lifted up, that you would be exalted, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God, as we are in your presence. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray and I say amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We give God the praise and thanksgiving. Amen on today, and we certainly just honor him for who he is. Amen. He has been a promise keeper, a keeper of his word, and we can testify, each and every one of us who are listening on today, amen, that he has never failed us and he never will. Praise God. Amen. God bless you all. I greet you in love, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Just thankful, amen, just to come before you again, amen, with a word from the Lord. Amen. And I don't have any particular scripture, praise God, that I will be coming from today, praise God. But, you know, I have, of course, scriptures, amen, throughout the message. Amen. But today we're going to talk about the correlation between the spirit world and human affairs. And the aim is to give you some insight on the president of Russia and his actions. So on the subject of spiritual warfare, and we talked about that in a previous message, the Word of God would have us to understand that the real enemies of our soul are unseen. When we find ourselves under attack by certain individuals, sometimes this basic principle escapes our mind. The natural eye and the carnal way of thinking will have you to focus on the person and their actions. But when you are able to spiritually discern Your focus is not so much on the person, but on the spirit that is influencing the person. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." When we find ourselves under attack from time to time, we are not warring against that which is fleshly. We must consider that there is something more sinister and diabolical at play. People of God, the Lord would have us to consider the time and the season that we are in. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:1, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." He said in verse 8 that there is a time of love and a time of hate, a time of war and a time of peace. People of God, we are in a time of war. In drawing our attention once again to the war in Ukraine, it was a calculated, targeted attack that was contrived in the spirit world and made manifest in this world. As it was previously stated, this is a war between God and the devil and between good and evil. These types of events will inevitably push us that much closer to the Battle of Armageddon, which will be the war of all wars, and also the war that will end all wars. You might ask, if the war is between good and evil, then why does Satan target man? The simple answer is that he hates us. The hatred that he has towards humanity is on the count of knowing that he fell from grace, and the repercussions of his sin left him in an irreconcilable state with God. On the other hand, man also fell from grace when Adam disobeyed God. Yet the Lord made a way for us to be reconciled to him through Jesus Christ. Because of God's grace, as the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4:16, we can therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We were given an opportunity to repent of our sins and be forgiven. Through repentance, all humanity has an opportunity to secure a place in the kingdom of God. But Satan can never again occupy a place in heaven. The word of God gives us to know in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, that after the dragon and his angels could not prevail against Michael and his angels, he was cast out. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. He was cast down to the earth and came down with great wrath because he lost the war and there was no way back. His rage and fierce, is sometimes fierce and often outrageous towards us because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The most common error made by some people is understanding the need for vigilance and underestimating the power of the devil. He does not have all power. He does have limited power. Jesus, on the other hand, was given absolute power. After he executed the perfect work of redemption, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." There is no greater name than the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 21 tells us that he is far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Some ignore the fact that Satan's pursuit of power and control did not end when he was disbarred from heaven. Just as he wanted God's throne, he wants to control and influence humans and their government. One of the objectives that the enemy aims to achieve when it comes to humankind is mind control. Once he has your mind, he has you, because the body will believe whatever the mind tells it. It is a proven strategy that works. And to use a modern day example, look at how that man in Russia is controlling a vast number of people by means of mind control. He has been feeding them false information for years, and by the art of manipulation, he controls what reaches their ear gate and their eye gate, so that the people are programmed to believe whatever he says. There have been reports of Ukrainians reaching out to family members in Russia to tell them that they are being bombed and that the war was unprovoked. But their families think that they are lying and will not accept what they are being told as true, because they are under the influence of a master deceiver. The enemy's kingdom is of darkness, and his objective is to keep as many souls as he can in a state of sin and ignorance. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he is called the God of this world, who hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In Ephesians chapter 2 and 2, he is called the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In essence, he is a ruler and primary influencer of evil in the current world system. Putin has mastered the art of mind control. And just like his father, the devil, he appears before the citizens of Russia as an angel of light. He could say that the sky is purple, and though they see the sky is blue, they will go against their own intellectual assessment and use some strange rationalization to stay in agreement with their leader. Mind control is a form of witchcraft. And if you allow the enemy to captivate your mind, you are right where he wants you to be. Vast majorities of people in Russia are bewitched, and they don't even know it. They are puppets on the string of a puppeteer, and they don't even know it. So captivation leads to manipulation, and manipulation will then lead to subjugation. I would have you to know that the enemy cannot get over the fact that he lost the war. Maybe he feels that the victory should have been his, but it was quote unquote stolen. Sorry, I just had to use that reference. I just couldn't resist. And since he is the God of this world by default on Adam's failure, his ambition is to set up a kingdom that is greater than God. He is still trying to recruit subjects that will bow down to him and worship him as a god. The scripture lets us know that he even tried to tempt Jesus. As outlined in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, the tempter came to Jesus after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, saying, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The Bible says that the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, and set him on a pinnacle to see, the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Now notice, the devil is citing scripture, which means he knows the word. But in this instance, he attempts to use the words as means of manipulation. Think about it. But Jesus also responds to him with scripture, using it in the right context, saying, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The Bible says, again, the devil took Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Notice, the devil cannot offer us salvation or eternal life. He can only offer you what pertains to the world and the glory of it. And many people have sold their souls to the devil based on that premise and have become entrapped. The devil failed at his attempt to get Jesus to bow down, so the word of God say he left him alone. James chapter 4 verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is the greatest counter offensive against the temptations of the enemy. And when you know how to wield your sword, which is the word of God, you will be able to cast down imaginations and bring every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You will be able to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and not allow the devil to captivate your mind. People of God, I want to bring to your attention that there is a such thing as territorial demons that dominate certain cities, states, regions, or in some cases, a single individual. An example of this is seen in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, where it talks about a demon-possessed man that Jesus encountered in the country of Gadara. Jesus asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. They knew that Jesus would cast them out, so they begged him not to send them away out of that particular country. Having said this, the reason why dictators are so important to him is because they are the easiest ones to embody, and they are the ones that will do his bidding. He knows that they are the ones that will most likely align themselves with what he wants, because they want to subjugate people and hold them in captivity. They want to be recognized as a great wonder in this earth, even if it means carrying out ruthless and inhumane acts. Dictators are detached from human feeling and emotions. Why? Because the demon or demons that are in them are not human. Look at the callousness of that man in Russia. He is unmoved by the death of innocent children or elderly people. He does not care that a maternity hospital was bombed with pregnant women and children, because in his sick mind, the means will justify the end. The same word that Jesus spoke when he addressed the Pharisees in the Gospel of John, chapter 8:44, are the same words that can be echoed to the president of Russia. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There's a saying that the eyes are the windows to the soul. And if you look into Putin's eyes, you can see the darkness. And he is intertwined with that demon that is in him, in so much that the two have become one. His behavior suggests that he did what Jesus would not do, which was to sell his soul to the devil for the sake of earthly power and glory. He loves the pomp and circumstance. When he walks down that long red carpet with all eyes on him, that's when he's in his element. On the other hand, the demon that is in him is getting a kick out of using him to get the praise from God's creation. But the time will come that all eyes will be on him as he is carried down that same red carpet in a coffin. When he lifts up his eyes in flames, that is when he will know that he's been had. The devil is loyal to no one except himself. And after he uses you, he discards you like a piece of trash. Isaiah 5:14 says, "Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth wide without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." To all the enemies of God, this will be your end. And the one whose influence that you were under already knows his end. That's why he's trying to take you with him. The Lord would have you to know that the warfare that you see is deeper than what your natural eye sees. It is deeper than what your mind can understand. On the surface, it is easy to attribute these atrocities to man, but you must understand that there is a correlation between the spirit world and earthly conflicts. I want to take the time to address every believer that is listening. The Lord has given us a unique position in the earth. He made us the praying kind. We are not just to sit back and look at these events as they unfold like we're looking at a movie waiting to see what's going to happen next. Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Luke 18:1, the scripture says that Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer warriors are the sentinels in the earth. A sentinel is supposed to watch, but how can you watch if you are spiritually asleep? And if you are asleep, it means that you're not paying attention. The people of Ukraine needs intercessors right now. Every prayer warrior in the world should be on their posts. Your prayers are not subject to NATO or international law. Your prayers are far-reaching, and you could deliver a soul from death. Your prayers could help find a family, make a way out of escape from that country and keep them out of harm's way. It is not time for the saints of God to be at ease, but get up and pray. The scripture says in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It is most egregious that neighboring countries and other countries around the world are just sitting still and won't help Ukraine because they are not a part of any alliance. What Putin is doing is inhumane, but their inaction, our inaction, is also inhumane. This is an example of how men put themselves in a bind and God has nothing to do with it. I heard politicians say that they are most concerned about Russia's nuclear capabilities. So I guess they just don't want to poke the bear. But if you say that we are one nation under God, my question to you is, do you know God's capabilities? If you did know his capabilities, you would not be sitting still doing nothing. Did not the Lord lock the jaws of the lion when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and allowed that man of God to walk out there unharmed? When the three Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was cast into a fiery furnace that was heated up seven times than it was known to be heated? Didn't God cause the fire to have no power over them? And when they came out of the furnace, there was no smell of smoke on them or their clothes? Did not the Lord come through for the prophet Elisha and his servant when they were at Dotham and there was a host compass about the city where they were with horses and chariots? His servant was so shaken, he asked Elisha, how shall we do? But Elisha, he was unfazed, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. Did not the Lord allow him to see into the spirit world that the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha? So all these nations that say they got God, then where is the God of Moses? Where is the God of Elijah and Elisha? Where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What are you afraid of? Our God is not bound by conventional weapons that man created. He uses unconventional means, and his modes of operations are not limited by the methods that are common to man. The Lord has his own arsenal of weapons, and they are just as effective and powerful as he is. So what are you afraid of? Glory to God. Hallelujah. In conclusion, prayer is a powerful and effective tool for us. Some of us are not in the position to make monetary contributions to help with humanitarian efforts in Ukraine. But you can make a sacrifice by spending some time in prayer and calling upon the name of the Lord. David said, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. And so shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. What are you afraid of? I call to mind the heroism of a Jewish woman named Esther, who was chosen to be the queen of Persia by Ahasuerus, king of Persia. The Bible gives us to know that a situation arose when the Jewish race was threatened with extermination. All of this came about because a man named Haman, who was second in command, was infuriated because one man refused to bow down to him. The man who would not bow down to Haman was named Mordecai, who was also Esther's cousin. The king had commanded all of his servants that were in his gate to bow down in the presence of Haman, but not Mordecai. He was the holdout. And from thence, Haman conspired to destroy all of the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom. So we see that same spirit and nature in full display today. If he doesn't bow down, then kill them all. If Ukraine won't bow down, then kill them all. When Mordecai was able to get word to Esther, she stepped up to the plate. But the king's law forbade anyone to approach him except he bid them come, or they would be put to death. Esther knew that it was a risk, but she said in her own infamous words, "If I perish, I perish." She then solicited the prayers from all of the Jews that were gathered together in Shushan and requested that they fast for her 3 days and 3 nights. Saints of God, the prayers of the people prevailed. Esther was able to go before the king, and at that time she revealed her Jewish heritage, and she told the king about Haman's plot to destroy her people. So Haman's scheme to exterminate the Jews backfired, and the king issued a vengeance order, giving the Jews permission to defend themselves. As for Haman, he was hanged on the same gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. God reversed the curse, and all the evil came right back to Haman's door. In closing, I will read in your hearing, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12-18. It reminds us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance, and supplication for all saints. This is the word of God that the Lord gave me to speak in your hearing. I say amen, amen, and amen.